The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome back. Second hour is live, and if you are just getting on board, we'll try to update you throughout the program what has been going on since late last night with Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. We're delighted to welcome to the program Booger McFarland, who certainly has covered his share of college football skirmishes. Booger, good afternoon. It's great to have you on. Just a quiet day here in the neighborhood.
Yeah, what's up, Paul? I mean, I woke up this morning, and I was going to get me a nice little workout in, go play 18, come back and watch the PGA, and lo and behold, all hell broke loose last night, you know?
Well, it did, and I'm curious because sometimes those of us, and you've worked at this network, you know, we're so close to it, it's hard to see it from a little bit of distance. But somebody who played in the SEC, who's covered the SEC, and who reports on college football, how do you view this skirmish, and what does it mean?
Well, here's how I look at it, Paul. Let's first understand the context in which the comments were made by Nick Saban last night. To my understanding, he was talking to a group of donors, boosters, trying to inform them of the lay of the land. And he basically said, hey, listen, guys, we're going to have to raise more money. We're going to have to ask for more money because of XYZ. And then he went on to state that, hey, A&M just bought their entire recruiting class because of NIL. You have Jackson State that's given money upwards of $1 million to a recruit, and this is the new landscape. So if you guys want Alabama to compete on that landscape, we're going to need to raise money. So that's the context in which I understand those comments were made. And, Paul, to be honest with you, I don't see anything wrong with what he said. And here's what I mean. We all know that NIL is now legal, okay? You can do it. Now, you can't buy a recruit per se, but we all know what you mean. You can get the collective to pledge X amount of dollars to the recruit. If and when he does sign, you don't have to sign, but if and when you do sign, here's what you're going to get, XYZ. So technically, you are buying the recruits to come to your school. So once we get past all the red tape, that's basically what's going on. So if you understand what's happening now in college athletics, what Nick Saban said was true. I honestly think, though, that Jimbo Fisher and A&M, their ego is getting in the way a little bit. Here's what I mean by that. They didn't do anything wrong. They played above the rules and the rules in which they were given, which were name, image, and likeness, and they have every right to raise as much money through the collective or whatever they're using as they can. But I think what happens is because the almighty Nick Saban has won 7 national championships and he's largely been lauded as the greatest recruiter ever, when he says A&M bought the players, the people at A&M, including Jimbo, are basically taking it as if Nick is saying we can't do it the old way. We can't just out-recruit Alabama. We have to buy our players. And I don't know if I take it that way if I were Jimbo. What I would say is, hey, we did everything the right way. We played by the rules, and we got maybe the best recruiting class ever. I just think what happens with these college coaches, Paul, and these recruits and these fan bases, ego gets in the way. And I'm really not sure what we're arguing about today. Jimbo used name, image, and likeness, just like every other school, to sign a recruiting class. Nick Saban just called it out. I'm not really sure why we're arguing over the fact, other than it's about ego.
Speaking of ego, and I'm not sure exactly how you know, the best way psychologically to move from that to what Jimbo said, but Jimbo called Nick Saban a narcissist. I've heard college coaches call each other a lot of things. That's a new one, though. And you know, he went on and on and on about just ask any former Saban assistant. He kept walking up to the line, then backing off as if working for Nick Saban is the worst thing in the world, where on one hand, maybe it is, but it's also a ticket to stardom for many other coaches. You know that, just based on college coaches and people in the NFL. So how do you square that part of this equation where a lot of dirty laundry was aired by Jimbo Fisher about Nick Saban today?
I think sometimes, Paul, we get emotional, and usually men don't get emotional, okay? Usually that doesn't happen to us. But I think today Jimbo got emotional, and he said some things that if you ask him 6 months from now, he probably wish he wouldn't have said. But nevertheless, the toothpaste is out of the tube. And he basically, if you sum it up, he said Nick Saban is butthurt. Nick Saban is a narcissist. He's won a bunch of games, and things have gone his way. And when things don't go his way, he cries a river. Well, okay. But you can't doubt or you can't really look at what Nick Saban has done and the success that he's had, and just because he calls you to the carpet, say that all of a sudden he is a narcissist. Whatever he's done, it's been successful. So if you want to call him a narcissist, more coaches in the country need to be narcissists then, because he's the greatest college football coach of all time. So I'm not going to allow what Nick Saban said last night to a bunch of donors and boosters to allow me to in any way, shape, or form to tarnish what he's built on the field. I just think if you're Jimbo, here's what you got to look at. Jimbo has got maybe the greatest recruiting class ever, and right now he's done nothing with it. If I were Ross Bjork, if I were Jimbo Fisher, and I were every A&M person out there, Billy Lucci, who's coming on the program next, and all, if I were any A&M person, here's what I'd say. I'd shut up, I'd be quiet, and I'd go prove it on the field. Because Paul Quiet is kept, A&M hasn't proved anything on the field yet. They haven't proved not one thing on the field. They proved they can build tall buildings. They proved they can build a great recruiting class. But have they proven they can win 11 wins and win the SEC? Have they proven they can get to the SEC championship and go play for a national championship? They have not proven that. So if I were A&M and I were the people in College Station, I would worry about that and stop worrying about what the greatest college football coach of all time says, because you're not going to win social media with Nick Saban. You're not going to win the war of public opinion with the greatest coach of all time, because he's got pellets on the wall. He's got something that you don't have. And so the only way you're going to win this fight or win this squabble, go beat him. And yeah, you beat him last year, but what did A&M go last year? You beat Nick Saban, but you lost to how many other games? You lost to an LSU team that was bad last year? Like Jimbo's got to prove, not only can he beat Alabama, but he can go on and put a lot of wins together and get A&M where they should be. Because, Paul, to be honest with you, they have a recruiting class the last couple years that says they should be competing for a national championship this year and or next year. And if that doesn't get done, then if I'm Jimbo, I'm worried more about that than I am than what Nick Saban said about me as some booster or donor event, because to me, that's the biggest issue. It's not what Nick Saban said last night. It's when you come to September and the Saturdays in September, can you do it and you do it consistently? Because one thing we know, Paul, they haven't done it yet so far. Nick Saban has done it. He's been there. He's done that regardless of how you say he did it, regardless of what he did to do it. He's won seven national championships a bunch of different ways at a couple different schools. Jimbo Fisher, A&M has more money than God. We know that based on the recruiting class that they just got, according to Nick Saban. Now, can they do it on the field? I think that's what I would worry about more than what someone says about me in May.
You mentioned Ross Bjork. He's the athletic director at A&M. He did not hire Jimbo Fisher. Scott Woodward did. But he insinuated today in an interview with Ross Dellinger that perhaps Saban should be sanctioned or disciplined by Greg Sankey. Saban, who really essentially said they bought every player in the class. Ross Bjork is saying he should be sanctioned for that, but he didn't leave it there. If he just left it there, you can say whatever you want. But Booger, he went on to say, I don't know why Nick Saban would say that, except he's threatened. There is a saying, an emperor who loses their dynasty lashes out. I'm not really sure what the quotation, the source of that is. He went on to say he seems to be making excuses. Can you interpret what Bjork has brought into this food fight?
Well, the way I would look at it is if that Jimbo, you basically got two students that are fighting. And now the parent says, hey, let's go to the principal's office. Well, how about just allow the two students to finish this squabble? It's a verbal squabble. Nobody's gotten physical. This is just a war of words. And so now the parent wants to take this to the principal's office. That's the way I interpret it. Ross Bjork, being the parent, now wants to go to the principal's office, that of Greg Sankey. And it's probably, you know how that goes, Paul. The other coaches are going to look at Jimbo like, hey, you can't handle this your own self. Now your AD's got to jump in this. Like at some point, if we're dealing with two high school students, and if you're a senior and you get your mom and dad involved in the brouhaha or the war of verbal words, the other seniors are going to look at you like, yeah, that's probably not the manly thing to do there. And so I understand what Ross is doing. You're sticking up for your head coach, and I get it. But at the end of the day, I don't think Greg Sankey is going to get involved over a verbal war of words between, one, the greatest coach of all time, and the one that's trying to nip on his heels a little bit and knock him down. Because I cannot put Jimbo and Nick on the same level. I don't care who wants to put them there. I don't care how many times Jimbo finishes one in recruiting. You can't put the guy that had seven natties against Jimbo, who's yet to win one at A&M. I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, I didn't like Ross getting involved, but I definitely don't feel like Greg Sankey should be involved in this either, especially when we're just talking about just one little spat or verbal war of words between two adult men who are making $9 or $10 million a year.
Booger, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much. Always great to have you on. Hope to see you soon.
Paul, it's great to be on. You asked me a lot of questions. Let me get your opinion before I go. Tell me your quick opinion on what's happened in the last 12 hours.
Well, I think Saban was doing exactly what you said. Some context for those who are just joining us. He was at an event with probably the top CEOs in the state of Alabama. And you're right. I think he was soliciting for money, saying we need to do more because A&M just bought every player in the number one recruiting class. Booger, once you say the word bought every player, you know, in the construct of college football, that's an inflammatory comment. And Jimbo Fisher decided to do whatever he wanted to with it, and that's to play the victim. And he put on quite a show today.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Paul. Here's what I'll end by saying this. I never have a problem with somebody telling the truth. And Nick Saban just basically told the truth, and now we're going to get upset because he said what everybody else already knows. Like, when you say what people already know, to me, that's an issue.
Well, I know we've kept you from watching golf, so we'll let you go back. It's great to have you on, Booger. Thank you so much.
Paul, anytime, buddy. Take it easy.
Good to have Booger on, and we will get back. We have John Talty a little bit later on. Other guests, we began with Pete Thamel. We'll recap for those of you who are just jumping on board what was said this morning and last night a little bit later on. We'll take a break here.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. John Talty will join us a little bit later on with a perspective from Alabama. We'll also have Billy Lucci on from Tex-Ags from College Station. That is coming up here shortly. Lewis is up next. Hello, Lewis.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. McFarland echoed a lot of my thoughts, but Paul, have you ever known Nick Saban not to do something that's not calculated? I believe that this was aimed at the NCAA, aimed at the boosters, and basically telling the football world, when we start paying these players, it's all going to be over with.
In what respect, Lewis?
Well, Paul, I think you just got to look at Alabama's history since Saban has been there, what he's done without having to put up money to buy players. And I think if that's the way the NCAA wants to go, and this talk about Alabama can't match A&M money. We don't have oil money,
but there's
money in this state. We raised, what, $500 million for improvements in a few years?
Listen, I don't know how to answer that question, but I do, when you talk about the NCAA, if this is what the NCAA wants, the NCAA doesn't know what it wants. The NCAA allowed this to happen, and I think what Nick Saban is trying to do is he's calling for some leadership, but there is no leadership and there's no oversight. So it's a runaway train. It may, Nick Saban is calculated, but all the calculation in the world is not going to level the playing field right now. It may eventually happen, but it's not happening at the moment. Let's check out Kudzu, who is in Atlanta. Hello, Kudzu.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I've got just two quick points, and I do agree with Booger McFarland, but ultimately, other than Nick Saban mentioning the names directly as he did with Dion and Jimbo, I probably wouldn't have done that. But he said everything he said was the truth, and I do agree that he as the previous caller said, everything's calculated. He's doing this for one reason only, to shed sunlight on it and to get people off their butts and to address the problem, because he knows there's no leadership out there that's going to do it. That's all this is. It's 100%. And he doesn't care.
Hold on a second. He's doing it at an event in Alabama with CEOs. He's got a million other forums to reach the leaders, and besides, there is nobody at any level of the NCAA or of the conference that he can't speak to in 30 seconds.
And you don't think the cameras aren't on him as they were? And
hold on a second. There was one camera in the whole place, okay? This was not
everybody's got a cell phone.
Everyone wants to give Nick Saban credit for being a thespian here, but I disagree that this was some grand scheme by Saban. It was the last question of the night at an event that was about over. There was one camera. This wasn't SEC media days where you have the entire football world in front of you. That's usually where someone of his ilk would go, or a live interview on ESPN, or an interview with some other publication. So I would caution you that this, whatever was in the back of Nick Saban's mind, he wasn't going to a very large media base here. It was barely covered, is my point. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Kevin in Austin. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well.
Hey, Paul, I appreciate the interview you had with, I'm an Aggie, full disclosure. I respected what Pete Thamel said when you had him on earlier. And what he said about A&M building a better mousetrap, that actually resonated with me. I don't think it's any secret that A&M is a good school with a fairly large number of very successful alumni. And as the great Gary P. Nunn once said, if the Texan fancies chances to be taken, chances will be taken. And I do think we are going to build a better mousetrap than Alabama. And Nick Saban's probably right to be concerned about NIL and the long-term prospects, because, when A&M and Texas are in there, that's a group of people that know how to make some money and figure out how to take advantage of these types of systems in a way Alabama may not be familiar with. And I've got no beef with the people of Alabama. I think they're a fine group of Americans and have had a great time with them at games. But it's a different ballgame now entirely when you start talking about people in Texas that are of the entrepreneurial sort getting involved.
Thank you for the call. And I just went back and read something that Saban said, and I may be drawing too much into it. The insinuation by Saban last night was that A&M bought every player in the class, meaning the number one recruiting class, because he said we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first, but this is what he said next. A&M bought every player on their team. Isn't that different than every player in the class? Now, is he referring to the class, or is he referring to everyone on the team who may have thought about leaving, which is really where the disagreement from most of the coaches is coming from right now, that the real anger, other than this specific situation, because Lane Kiffin, don't forget, remember, Lane Kiffin went after Jimbo Fisher as well. He called, he joked about having a luxury tax. And ultimately, he took the wrath from Jimbo when Jimbo said that was a clown act. But Jimbo said something very similar on that February day that he said today. And I always thought he was talking about Saban, but we just got so caught up in the Lane versus Jimbo tete-a-tete. Let's take a break. We have Billy Lucci coming up live from College Station. We'll get his reaction and the reaction of Aggieland right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We are here and continuing on. Billy Lucci joins us, a mainstay of the College Station Bryan community, covered the Aggies for a long time. Billy, thanks so much for the time. Let's get right to it. Your reaction to what has been going on here over the last 18 hours.
Well, I was packing last night. We're contemplating a water landing on Lake Michigan while this is all going on. And the only thing that could distract me from that was Jimbo versus Nick Saban. So this is crazy. When I heard Nick say that last night, Paul, I didn't think it was real. I thought it was a troll job. I had to look up the author. I saw it was with AL.com, and I realized it was legit because I didn't think Nick Saban would come out of pocket quite that much. We've all enjoyed his commentary over the years on topics and the rants. But when I saw that in print, I said, no way. It's so unusual for him. It's so unusual in this sport. And I'm sure Greg Sankey's going to step in at some point if he hadn't already.
Well, hold on a second, Billy. This is not the first time. You know this better than I do that this has gone on. This happened in February.
Yeah, so it's round two first, and it started with Lane and now Nick. So to me, if I'm Jimbo Fisher, whatever anyone wants to think about A&M, no one's mind is going to change no matter what Jimbo says. I could sit here and tell you, Paul, I know for a fact there's 11 true freshmen from that class on campus. One of them has an NIL deal. They've been here for almost 4 months. But no one's going to change anyone's mind, whether it's me, you, Booger, Lane Kiffin, you know, anybody, everybody has their mind and their opinion on this. I get that. But if I'm Jimbo Fisher today, I think what he did, Paul, was it has the potential to be a defining moment for Texas A&M football and kind of like this point where I think he could galvanize that program. I mean, he needed to do that. You can't just sit back. And I know people say, man, this keeps coming up. Why did you can't sit back and let a head coach that the stature of Nick Saban sit there in front of an audience on camera and say those kinds of things and go unchecked. And I think Jimbo went scorched earth today, and I think it was 1,000% warranted when you go back and think about what Nick Saban actually said and the words that came out of his mouth, which were shocking to me from a head coach that knows the number of coaches that have worked with him over the last 20 years that are scattered all over this country, the number of players that went to Alabama and transferred, the number of players that have been recruited by Alabama and didn't choose them, that was a moment, in my opinion. I know Nick Saban's always calculated. I know he always has an agenda, and it was probably to motivate and push the Alabama donors, ironically enough, to do exactly what he thinks A&M did with the mythical $30 million. But I think he made a mistake. I think it was a moment of weakness. And quite frankly, I think he looked like a sore loser, not just to A&M, but he lost to Kirby and then he lost the recruiting battle. And he's not, I don't think he's handling it well, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's what I want you to be. He told Chris Lowe today that he wasn't singling anyone out when he said what he did. I'm talking about Nick Saban. But I want to talk to you more about what Jimbo Fisher had to say. You know, he didn't just crack pack. He didn't go clown show. He got about as personal as I've ever heard him. You may know him a lot better than I do. I'm sure you do. But he just didn't go after someone in a joking manner. I mean, he essentially tore down the walls to the Nick Saban kingdom and said, look inside, and you're not going to like what you see. Can you expound on that for us?
Yeah, I think those two at one point, and I could be wrong, but I think they were very close at one point. I think that relationship, I think this probably isn't the first. I know it's not the first. There was one a couple, a while back, but the shots and the comments and the I just think that friendship, what was left of it, died today. And it was very personal. I think Jimbo, just like Nick is and just like you are to get where you are, everyone's so hyper-competitive. And I think college football coaches and basketball coaches and coaches in general are at the apex of that in some instances. And I think, what Nick Saban did, I think that was intensely personal, number one, because he found it so offensive to him and his players, his program, the parents of the kids. And number two, I think it was just offensive to him. And think about somebody that they used to work together. They were that close. They won championships together.
Billy, hold on a second. I mean, it's one thing to have a dispute. Coaches get into that all the time. Yeah. But I mean, let's talk about what Jimbo Fisher said. I mean, he took Nick Saban apart, and I know a lot of critics can come back and say, well, let's leave this for the field. But I mean, he was talking. Very personal. I was stunned by it.
What I would say to that would be, what on God's green earth would Nick Saban have expected with saying that in front of that audience? He did single A&M out. He literally said they bought their whole team, and then followed it up by saying Alabama didn't buy a player one. So just the unmitigated gall to sit there and say that. Like, I don't think Jimbo Fisher would say anything negative about Nick Saban. I think you could probably I don't know when he has. I think this has been a buildup, and I think you have a guy that both of them, and Nick more than anybody, but they've accomplished a ton in this sport. And Nick Saban, he called that out. I mean, there's no other way about it. Like, none of this happened.
Well, let me add more context.
Never heard
Saban is saying late today in an interview on Sirius that he didn't mean that he apologized for singling anyone out. And he went on to say, I wasn't saying anybody did anything illegal. I didn't say that. How would you respond
to
that?
Well, I think here's what I would say. When you say they bought their whole team, and when you say they bought every member of a class, I know what I think he – I think I know what he's saying, Paul, right? Don't we think he's saying they got all these guys signed up to NIL deals and that's how they got them? But he is saying it's illegal, because if that's the reason you got them – that is illegal, is signing them to deals and getting them to agree to deals and stuff before you sign them. That is – so he did accuse it of that. And like I said, I mean, a lot of people don't want to deal with facts in this thing because the story just kind of took on a life of its own. You got Lane over there retweeting it from Oxford, and it's all fun and games. But I'm just telling you from someone that's sitting here from a factual standpoint – I know one of 11 freshmen that have been here 4 months have deals. So I think A&M doesn't play the NIL game? No, hell no. Like, I absolutely think A&M, Miami, Alabama, Texas, OU, everybody's stepping over each other. We participated in Texas with the interviews. And guess what? Outside of the players getting paid, I hate it because I look at where it's going. It's just hard to see where the ending is. But you see, this has been brewing in college football, and it just so happened that in the last 24 hours, it was a couple of giants going at it. And it's going to be fascinating to see what the buildup is to that game in October, because it's just that, I mean, you want to talk about a grudge match. I think A&M's got to play Miami. They got to go to Mississippi State. They got to play Arkansas. You and I could talk all day about
that. Yeah, we got plenty of time for that. Billy, let me ask you this, because that game is October 8th, but let me ask you, mm-hmm. in relation, Saban said he reached out to Jimbo and Deion Sanders. Hasn't heard back from either one. We've got conflicting stories on Deion, so we'll leave it to Deion. But apparently Deion is looking for a public apology. Maybe he got that, but that's for another day. But do you see any? I know coaches like to act for the cameras, but I mean these guys are going to be together in about 10 days at the same table. Do you see Jimbo walking any of this back in terms of wanting to deal with Nick Saban again? Because he said we're done today.
No, I think they're done. And I think if that meeting was today, I think that it would have probably been a physical altercation. And I'm not joking. I'm laughing because it sounds like it's a joke. But I think that that whole deal was that personal and it was that intense. And we watched it play out live this morning. But, yeah, I do. I think, Paul, that relationship is over. And maybe when they're both retired, it'll be one of those deals where the two get together and remember the better times. But I think that deal ended today, and there's no question about it. Jimbo's not the type, from what I've gotten to know of him in 5 years, he's not the type to kind of let something like that go when he gets to that point. You know, I think once he crossed that bridge today, it was burnt up behind him, much like I think Nick Saban did the same thing walking the other direction the night before.
One more thing about the legacy comments, because you know, if you're in this little contraption that we play in, this big sandbox, you hear coaches talking about others, and certainly I've spoken to plenty of Nick Saban former assistants, current assistants. I've heard them be critical. That's understandable. But I've never heard anything quite like we heard today. Can you help? For those who don't want to listen to that part of it, maybe they don't think it means anything, maybe they don't think it matters, try to put some context to Jimbo Fisher, who worked under Nick Saban, undressing the greatest coach of all time in public.
Yeah, I think that you got to remember how close they were, and you got to remember, again, like I said a minute ago, these guys won a championship together. Their first, both of them, it was their first championship. They won it together at LSU. They've competed against each other on the field in some great games, and they've maintained that friendship. And, yeah, for that to come from Jimbo, what I will say is this. He didn't just wake up today and say, I'm going to go take a blowtorch to Nick Saban today because he said something about me last night. I think that you have to understand, I think that's been brewing for a multitude of reasons for a long time. And I think a lot of it probably when Jimbo moved into the SEC and took the job at A&M and just kind of and not because they were competing on the field, but I think because I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of that has to do with they were crossing paths on the recruiting front way more than they ever had, including in this state. So I think that animosity had really started to build up beneath the surface. But this is like Kirby Smart doing that. This is like, that's the only guy I could say, like Kirby Smart or Will Muschamp doing that. I mean, who are the guys? It's them. And I think those would be the three that come to mind when you think about Nick Saban and some of his most well-known and prominent assistant coaches. It really is one about the same thing as if Kirby Smart would have done it, but for the shock value of.
Billy, thank you very, very much. It is on a day like this, we certainly wanted to get your perspective, and it's a pleasure to get you on the program. You be well.
Summer blockbusters. I'll see you in Destin.
Yeah, I look forward to it. thank you very much, Billy. You take care of yourself.
All right, Paul. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, as Billy was talking to us, let me go over a couple of comments that Nick Saban told Chris Lowe today. Certainly this is going to be part of the story. He said, Jimbo can say what he wants. We've known each other for a long time. He worked for me and is a very good coach. As I said, it wasn't my intention to single anyone out, but I don't take things personally. Some people, when they compete against each other, everything's personal. It's never been that way for me. Bill Belichick and I are best friends. We were in the same division for 2 years in the NFL when I was in Miami and never had an issue. He may have also said that to Sirius Radio, so let me make sure. Anyway, there's so much happening at one time. So one other thing, and we're waiting for another statement here that is coming up here. So a lot of people have commented about the commissioner of the SEC, who was out of town last night in New York. He's certainly someone that we've all been waiting to hear from. And now we have. The commissioner of the SEC has issued a statement as we speak, and I'm good, if you bear with me, I will try to read it here off this computer. This is according to the SEC office in Birmingham. The membership of the Southeastern Conference has established expectations for conduct and sportsmanship that were not met last night nor today. A hallmark of the SEC is intense competition within an environment of collaboration. Public criticism of any kind does not resolve issues and creates a distraction from seeking solutions for the issues facing college athletics today. There is tremendous frustration concerning the absence of consistent rules from state to state related to name, image, and likeness. We need to work together to find solutions, and that will be our focus at the upcoming spring meetings. As a result of the public comments made on May 18th by Alabama head coach Nick Saban, a public reprimand is issued for comments he made in violation of SEC bylaws 10.2.3 and 10.5.2 related to ethical conduct for derogatory comments and public criticism of another institution's athletics program. As a result of public comments made on May 19th by Texas A&M coach Jimbo Fisher, a public reprimand is issued for comments made in violation of SEC bylaw 10.5.2 related to ethical conduct for public criticism of another member institution's staff. We're almost done. SEC bylaw 10.23 states coaches and other members' personnel shall advocate the positive advantages and attributes of their university and its intercollegiate athletics program and shall avoid making any derogatory statements concerning another member institution's athletic program, facilities, or educational. There's one more, but I think I'll spare the audience because we are way too late in this segment. So anyway, bottom line, Saban tried to walk it back, saying he didn't intend to call anybody out. Jimbo Fisher says what he did, and Greg Sankey has now publicly reprimanded both head coaches. And we are coming back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Oh, again, a war of words, and Greg Sankey has now chimed in with his first public statements on the matter. And in the parlance of college football, it seems like offsetting penalties. Replay the down. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285, and Coach is up next in California. Hello, Coach.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I've been listening to all of this for the past 2 hours, and for the most part, I agree with what Booger said. And that's the one portion about it all being ego. You know, most of this is ego-driven. I don't agree with the one caller who said that Saban did this for some kind of grand gesture, because if he wanted to do that, like you said, he could have did that during SEC Media Day or something and put it all out there if he was really trying to bring about change. And with him being one of the greatest of all time, as everybody calls him the GOAT, then why don't he just step out there and do something about bringing on that change? It just amazes me that now that these kids are about to get paid, and as far as I'm concerned, for being slave to the rhythm for so many years, everybody is having a problem.
Coach, hate to run. Thanks so much for the call. Two more hours to go.